These two can turn your traffic jam into strawberry jam. The morning commute into a day that's you beaut. The drop off at school into a day that's cool. So whack your ear around the sound of Damon and Molly.
The podcast is back for another week. Welcome to it. It's been a short week, Molly. Left even shorter by you because you also took Tuesday off, you lazy thing.
Yeah, I had a day of cleaning my house. It was so therapeutic.
You seem like someone that would just vibe a clean environment at home.
Yeah, but also not all of us can afford a cleaner, Damon.
Once a fortnight, it's good to get things in order at home. Listen, I've got to say, I'm glad that we've got to the end of the week and you're still here because there was an incident this week which made us think that your employment may be short-term at best.
Yeah, I effed up. Can we say that?
Yeah,
I've said it. It's
the podcast.
Not too badly, but you will be able to catch up with what went down here on the potty, so you're in the right place.
Also, it was a week for revelations. Hey, did you know that Molly's dating someone?
Stop it. It's so embarrassing. I bet you now that I say something about on the potty, it's going to be all over Red Rover. How embarrassing.
It will not be. You're delightful. I'm sure that boy will want to lock that radio star right down.
Yeah, that's the words that he probably recycles through his mind before he goes to sleep at night.
Let's see just how talented Molly is. Let's get into the podcast. We'll see you at the end. Former Prime Minister Kay Rudd has turned cabbie or Uber driver after a whole bunch of guys mistook his car after he dropped his family off at a Noosa restaurant as their Uber, and he drove them to their destination.
What sort of car do you reckon the Rudd's got?
Oh, it would just have to be like a nicely appointed sedan,
I reckon. That's exactly what I was picturing, like a silver car.
You know, I was thinking maybe like a little bit darker, but enough that these guys thought it was a professional movement vehicle. Molly, we're asking this morning, have you ever hopped into the wrong car in honour of our former Prime Minister? You've done it before?
Yes, I did it as a child, which is the worst time to do it. I took acting classes in the city as a kid, and it was on Pulteney Street. So a bit of traffic along there.
Yeah, busy.
And, yeah, we would all talk out the front for ages, and, like, my mum or my grandparents would be waiting in the bay forever for me to stop talking, as you would be able to imagine, I'm sure, Damon. And I was talking to a friend, so walking backwards, like, bye, see you next week, can't wait,
bye,
love you, my best friend ever. I've opened the door, got in backwards, gone for the cheek kiss, and seen someone who was absolutely not a family member of mine.
Did you land the kiss?
I got close.
What is the reaction then by both of you?
Just horror. Pure horror, really.
Yikes.
I also did a similar thing as a kid, like quite young. I was at Intensity, I reckon it was, and I went up to this man who looked like my dad and said, I've got 6 tickets, Dad, look at these. And he turned around slowly and said, I'm not your dad.
That's creepy as hell.
I know. No. And I was honestly terrified. Terrified.
Other stories are coming through at our Power FMSA Facebook page. Linda did hop into the wrong car once, said she'd borrowed a mate's car, and one night at the pub got into what she thought was her mate's car, but it was someone else's.
Oh, Linda. Well, you know, at least she didn't try and kiss him, though. That's a bonus. We've got one from Bill as well who said, my dad used to do the RAA down south. He had a Commodore station wagon with, like, RAA signage on the roof. He pulled up out the front of the local supermarket one day, and the next minute the back door flies open, an older lady starts pushing all of his tools across the seat to make room for herself. She thought he was a taxi. He's then followed up with saying, P.S., he did give her a ride home.
Oh, see, that's nice. But the fact
Bill.
That you don't often get into a cab and have to shove stuff out of your way to sit down, that was probably like a big warning. Catherine has tagged a mate and said, how we first met.
Oh, I must know more.
Yeah.
God, that's a hook. Do you guys want our jobs? Damon.
Yes.
As you like to point out on this show, I am dating somebody.
We haven't actually talked about it at length on the show. We've been a little bit low-key on it. We don't want to rush things from a public perspective.
Just to put it into perspective for those listening, imagine the feeling of telling your parents you're dating someone, how nervous you get because you go, I don't want to say it, and then this falls apart, and then I have to explain it. Imagine doing that to people you've never met by the thousand. That's why I don't talk
about
it.
Welcome to radio. But that's what we get hired to do. We talk about our lives. Your life includes dating someone at the moment.
Yeah, he's a lovely boy. I'm having a lovely time. But the best thing about newly dating someone is that it's so exciting. There's so much good stuff. Well,
you're coming in positively, just like giggly every morning.
I know, it's embarrassing.
I mean, I just thought it was me for a couple of days and then I quickly
realised. I'll tell you right now. So along with that, you're also trying new things with this person.
Absolutely.
And this guy that I'm dating is into rock climbing.
Well, I got a little bit of a hint of this when we went bouldering for FebFit and you were kind of having a bit of a back and forth with him via the text of how we were going. Mm. He's a lot better at than we were.
Yeah, he is.
And it's tough.
It's one of those things that looks easier than it is, and I'm happy that I experienced indoor bouldering before I went out with these guys. So last night we went to, what do you say, we went to some rocks? I don't know. There was a whole...
We went out and found some rocks and we climbed them.
There was a whole group of climbers and James brought along a hammock for me to sit in. Because I was not going up that rock.
Hey, I saw your climbing skills at this bouldering place and I'm glad it would be unsafe for you to do so.
I'm so scared of heights, but the good thing is I'm accepted as I am. No one's, like, forcing me up the rocks or whatever.
I've never seen cheerleaders at a rock climbing event. I've never been to a rock climbing event. Do they have cheerleaders?
I was more like the supportive mum. Doing well, guys. Anyone want a sandwich?
I've got oranges for you to have at half time.
Anyway, it was a really cool time. I'm just happy to be outside sitting under a tree somewhere. Like, that's what I enjoy doing.
That's your vibe.
So, yeah, it kind of fits in. We're both those sort of people. You know, we like camping or all that. And I was definitely dressed for the outdoors, shall we say. I had my snazzy hiking sandals on.
I've seen the hiking sandals. They are far from snazzy. He would have been dressed for climbing.
He was. He had, like, the full gear on and whatever, as you need to, propel yourself up a rock. I was also wearing an oversized T-shirt that actually originally belonged to my grandpa and,
Hot. Like,
ripped shorts.
I mean,
was in my element.
You're trying to impress the guy.
He knows who I am. We thought, all right, we're halfway down the hill. Let's just go to the parade for dinner. Like, we're so close. We'll make it happen. We'll just find somewhere. And we end up at this restaurant where people were wearing suits, high heels, like silky dresses.
Anyone else rocking hiking sandals?
And I was like, oh, we're the poor people here. Like, you know what I mean?
Did you stay?
Yeah, I literally had a truffle pasta and a lavender and lime cocktail in a flute glass.
I don't know you anymore. Who is this person?
I don't know if I know myself.
Okay, if people have been regular listeners to the show, particularly around Naughty 640, they'll know that you seem to have a particular aversion to using the biological term penis.
Yeah, that's my old job's fault because we weren't allowed to say it on air. It was like a real,
show rule.
Yeah, it was a show rule. We weren't allowed to refer to it as that. And every time I go to say the word penis, I feel like I'm going to get in trouble. So I just use other words.
So what do you generally use? What's your go-to?
The pen 15.
So pen 15 is a funny one because it reminds me of primary school where kids would run up and ask you, yeah, and they would go for the vulnerable, like, kids that weren't quite across everything. They'd say, do you want to join the pen 15 club?
And that was absolutely me. And I was like, sure, what is it?
And then you write pen 15 on their arm and it looks like the word penis. If you weren't allowed to say, Peter, what did you use for vagina?
I can't believe you just said, can we really say it?
Why not?
I don't know, the lady cave.
Okay, the reason why I bring this up, is that in New York there is a massive erection that's about to take place.
Oh, what?
Okay. In terms of a building, get your mind out of the gutter. So New York City is looking at a massive development the size of the Empire State Building, and it's going to be in one of their most travelled transit hubs, a 20 million square foot improvement project that includes the construction of a building nearly equal in size to the very famous Empire State Building.
Okay.
It's going to be like a real 21st century development.
Cool.
What is making people giggle about it, and there's a very serious article on this, but what is making people giggle is that the project is going to be called Pen 15.
No, it's not.
It's near Penn Station in New York. It's the Penn 15 project.
Maybe they don't do that in America.
Well, it must not be a thing, but the internet's giggling about it.
Oh, my God. Who on earth is sitting in an office going, I know what we'll call this, the Penn 15 Tower?
Here's just some of the earnest and serious sentences from this article. In order to see Penn 15 or any of the other earmarked projects, the plan must be approved by the Empire State Development Corporation.
Okay.
The developments describe Penn 15 as a super tall tower that will become the new standard for office design.
What? I have so many questions about this, Damon. I mean, am I allowed to say Penn 15 again now, or am I just going to be referring to the
building project in New York?
Building project in New York.
The massive erection that will take place in New York.
I don't get the erection part.
Well, if you erect something, it's a massive erection. It's a tall building.
I forget you're a boy sometimes.
Molly, Riley, my eldest boy, is about to turn 9. Just a couple of weeks away, he'll turn 9 years old, and that means birthday party is coming up. Now,
yes.
In our family, and I'm not sure if this is like a wider thing that other people do, we do birthday parties for the kids every second year.
What? So you don't do anything 1 year?
Well, the other year we'll just have like a quiet family catch-up, but like when we're talking like out and about activity with his mates every second year, because that stuff's expensive. Like, it actually is, like, if you're doing an like out and about activity, it can get really expensive to actually go out and do stuff. So
you could go to a park with his friends, though. Don't they just want to kick the football and, I don't know, roll around on the grass or whatever?
It's just not very exciting. Like, you know, he's getting invited to other stuff and it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool.
Can I ask? I'm not a parent, as all the listeners would know at this point in time. is there competition for things like birthday parties? Like, oh, well, Jackson's party, everyone went scuba diving, so we better one-up it with this.
I think...
Like, do you compare yourself?
For Riley, like, when we say, oh, what do you want to do for your birthday? He might then reference all the great parties he's been to and say, like, oh, I should be able to do those things. But some of them can be, like, probably expensive to take, like, a larger group of kids.
How many kids do you have at a party?
Oh, well, it can range from just, like, a
like
small...
Like 20?
It could be. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And, like, if it's, like... $30, $45 a head for a kid, you know, that's like over $1,000.
Yeah.
We've come up with a great solution.
Okay.
There is a cinema that will hire themselves out for video games.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that you can actually go here, hire a particular cinema for, let's say, 2 hours, $120, and you can you can plug in your video game system and play it on the giant screen.
I was going to ask, do you get paid more than me? Because that sounds like it would be expensive. But wow, okay.
The thing
can anyone
here is,
hire it out?
Other parties will charge you per head. This is not charged per head. They will give you the cinema for 2 hours, $120, and you can play your video games on the big screen. They'll just give you that HDMI port.
Can you play anything in there?
I figure.
Wow, my mind is ticking.
I don't even want to know.
No, that, I'm just thinking that would be a great spot for so many things, like a proposal.
Yeah.
That would be really cool if you put together some kind of video or whatever.
That's
or
it.
Like, I don't know, mum's 50th.
You could
that
do what,
just came into my mind.
You could do whatever you want.
Okay.
This is video games, so which, you know, he's an 8-9-year-old kid. Of course he loves some video games. So we are sorting this out for him. Now, we've sorted out things like food. Like, how does that work with their candy bar? Basically, you can just bring in anything that doesn't compete with their candy bar. But what made me laugh is that we've been having this back and forth with the cinema, and they said, okay, you've got the capacity to bring 524 people.
I don't know what upsets me about that more, the 500 part or the 24. That's the most frustrating number.
I figure that a lot of those places are like just kind of basing it on space and capacity and, you know, like just percentages of things. But
why would you not round it down?
Why?
24 for
why
a
would anyone need to bring 524 people? I'm sure she's just giving it as the figure, but like, who does she think my kid is? It's not some kind of sultan who has hundreds and hundreds of friends that want to come on. We might invite 8.
Maybe she knows that you're the breakfast guy from
Stop
Power
it,
FM,
no.
And that is how many people will
Who
be
wants to come along? We got plenty of spaces. Bring my kid a present and don't eat anything because I'm not catering for you.
I might be having my last show today, guys.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go follow a life on the stage? I mean, I've already had my life on the stage, Damon. Do you pay attention? Yeah, I may be fired today because of an interaction that just occurred in the studio.
So funny. For a little bit of context, we had a brand new general manager start at the station yesterday. You had the day off.
Yeah.
So you have not met our new GM. His name's Dave. And just before we were about to go live on air before, an unknown man to you stuck his head in and you turned around and thought it was the music teacher, so needed some clear guidance, and you said, "Get out! Get out!"
Did I actually say those words?
I'm not sure. But you made it clear that that man was not meant to be in the doorway at that time.
I thought it wasn't a radio person, so I thought they might not know how it works, as people don't, you got to be honest. People just fly in here and, you know, we're on the air. You can't just come on in.
The great thing here is that at this current point in time, you are experiencing this live with Molly because Molly has not yet had a second interaction with our new boss. So right now, as we speak, your only interaction with him is shushing him out the door very sternly.
Can we get him in? I literally haven't met the guy, so would he be up for it? Let's get him in.
Let's try to do that next. Molly, are you okay?
I'm flustered. I'm overwhelmed. I'm worried this may be my last show because.
Not as much as I'm overwhelmed. I'm so flustered. I'm devastated.
If you're hearing a voice you don't know, this is our new boss, Dave, who I just met by ferociously ushering him out of the studio as I did not know who he was. We just had some guests. We had a couple students from Unity College in here. We were awaiting their teacher who was running late. The kids were constantly looking out the door waiting for him to kind of burst in.
Uh-huh.
And instead, Dave, you burst in.
I just thought I was being helpful, guys. You know, I'm just sorry. I'm still wiping tears away. I heard you were such a lovely girl, and the first thing you said to me was, "Get out!"
Dave, you've worked in radio for a long time. You've got a rich history of experience. Have you ever met anyone who's yelled at you in the first instance?
Yeah, about 5 minutes ago.
Well, I've had a really fun time here at Power FM. It's been a good few months. Damon, you'll be a friend for life.
Molly, I heard yesterday. Oh, Molly, she's lovely. She's having a nice long weekend. She deserves it. And the first thing he said to me was, "Get out."
It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I'm feeling it. And it's only up from here for us, Dave, in our professional relationship.
The only way is up, correct.
Dave, welcome to the stage now. Get out!
Thanks!
One of my favourite moments of the week. Absolutely.
Yeah. Reliving it was good.
Hey, we earlier in the week went for a little bit of a walk, and if you follow us on Instagram, and I definitely recommend you do at PowerFMSA, you can follow Molly at MollyRoseRadio. I'm Damon_Adams. We discovered a Tupperware container that had been left out for a little kitty cat. It was my Tupperware container, and I had no say in the matter.
I mean, you've told that horribly. I'll recycle back. What happened was Craig, who drives you home from 2 on weekdays, did a lap around the block, as he often does. He came racing into the studio last week and said, "Molly, you want a cat, don't you? There's one outside." And I was like,
I'm not sure that's how pet ownership works.
Well, that's how fostering an abandoned kitten works. And, Craig and I saw the cat. It was clearly malnourished, like shaking, very scared by itself, no mother in sight. So we thought, okay.
Sounds emotional.
It was. Seriously, it was. We thought about, okay, what do we do here? Like, do we take it to the RSPCA, find a home for it, you know, whatever else. So we tried to catch the kitten to then, you know, follow through with all of that, and it ran away, which was really sad. And then I came back into the office, and for like an hour I couldn't do any work, so I just kept thinking about the cat and how I let it go, and like, oh, it was just traumatic. And so I thought, okay, I know what I can do. I'll leave it some water. I know kind of roughly where it is.
Nice of you.
So I went into the kitchen here at work, and I found an array of Tupperware left behind by yourself. And I thought, well, this has been here for about 3 weeks, so obviously Damon doesn't need this Tupperware, so I'm going to go give it to the stray cat that's in need outside.
I'm not sure that's how things work.
Then what happened is we were going on our post-show stroll. Uh-huh. I looked to the left and I said, "What do you reckon about that Tupperware out there? That's actually yours."
It's behind the giant fence of the CFS, which neighbours our station. Not accessible, but certainly can be observed. I've literally just got a message from Craig saying that fence is open and I might be able to go collect. You should be doing that.
I'm not going to, though.
We'll see you next week.